Good afternoon, Bay Area, and Happy New Year. Welcome to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden, where every week we tap into the Bay Area art scene and bring you rich conversations with artists. On today's show, jazz and funk pianist Brian Culberson talks about his upcoming jazz festival in Napa and being an independent artist. Then I catch up with actress and comedian Lunell about the new sitcom she co-stars in with Tracy Morgan. On today's show, we're going to laugh and chill. That's all coming up. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden. Jazz and funk musician Brian Culberson first made waves in the smooth jazz scene when he was just a college student. 29 albums and 40 Billboard chart-topping songs later, he's still creating music on his keyboard that makes his fans groove and chill. His latest album is Day Trip, and it features artists such as Branford Marsalis, Marcus Miller, and the Bay Area's own Sheila E. And this summer, Brian is hosting his 13th annual Napa Valley Jazz Getaway. I spoke with Brian Culberson about his career, recording with Sheila E., and the business side of being an independent artist. Brian Culberson, welcome.
Hey, Janae, how you doing?
I am good because you are here and I'm excited.
Oh, my.
So, yes, Brian, let me tell you how I was introduced to you because I have to mention this. So my good friend from college, we were college roommates. Her name is Joanna. And one day I called her up and I was like, what are you doing, girl? She's like, girl, I'm listening to Brian Culberson. And I said, who is that?
What?
And then...
Hilarious.
And then another time I called her, she's like, girl, I got Brian Culberson tickets. I said, who is that? This is like 15 years ago.
Wow.
So that's how I learned about you.
Wow.
And I'm glad I did because I'm interviewing you too. And also too, your music is amazing. So yeah.
I mean, that's the beauty of this kind of music. We're you know, kind of underground in a way. So if you know, you know, and you're way into it. And if you don't know, you're like, who is that?
Exactly.
Which is cool because I can kind of walk around and be a normal person, if you know what I'm saying. You know what
I mean? Yeah, no, I was thinking about that. Like, your celebrity is that, you know, you're a very successful musician. You're well-loved. You perform around the world. I mean, when I watch you on YouTube on your show, The Hang, people from all over the world, like, tune in.
Oh, yeah.
But I was wondering, I said, Brian could probably go to the store and get some chips.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's like level of celebrity that's like out of control where you can't leave your house. And that would just be awful. You know,
right,
I can't
right.
imagine that paparazzi and all that craziness. But, you know, hey, we're in the jazz world. We have adults listening and we drink wine and, you know, so it's super cool. Everybody's really, really nice. Occasionally I'll run into somebody. Oh, hey, you know, it's all good.
Yeah. And you're in Chicago area?
I am, yes.
It is very cold.
Well, it's winter, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny. People say, oh, my God, Chicago, it's so cold. Well, in the winter, sure.
Right,
but,
right.
you know, the rest of the year, it's delightful. I like winter. I like snow. I like the cold. So I kind of like all the seasons. So that's why I'm here.
It's a great city. It's definitely one of my favorite cities. And I've been there in the winter because I was young and in love. But we ain't going to talk about that.
Oh, well, there's that.
Had me flying to Chicago in the winter.
Mm-mm-mm.
But, I love when you do that. I was going to ask you about that, too, because I love when I'm watching you on your YouTube show and you go, when it's like something like, ooh, like, I'm not going to touch that. Or it's like, ooh, this is good. Like, the song is good.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I just, you know, I got my little isms.
Yeah. Or when you're drinking wine, you go, So I'm glad
nice.
I got an in there. Okay.
Nice.
So Brian, your first album dropped in 1994 and you were in your early 20s. And I'm thinking back to that time. You and I we're several years apart. And I'm thinking back to that time. Hip hop was rising. Right.
Yeah.
Grunge was in.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking I was in high school and I grew up listening to jazz. And I didn't really at that era, you didn't really hear a lot of people in their 20s breaking into smooth jazz.
Nope.
Like, did you have to prove yourself because you were so young? I mean, you were in college.
I was. I had a weird situation to where there was a a friend of the family who I was in touch with literally since I was born. You know, he'd come by. He was in the music industry, literally one person we knew that was in the industry. And over the years, when I started writing music, I would send him cassette tapes of stuff that I was working on. And his name is Bud Harner, and he was always so supportive. And so throughout high school, I kept sending him stuff, and he's like, oh, hey, this is, you know, this is getting pretty cool. And finally, I sent him a tape when I was 20 in college. I sent three songs, and he's like, oh, you're ready now. I was like, what? I didn't know what was going on. And so he ended up playing these three songs for the label he was working for. They call me up, and literally 2 weeks later, they offer me my first record contract. I'm 20 years old, freaking out, you know. So, you know, they're like, all right, finish the record. Send it to us. I was like, oh, my God. And so that's literally how it got started. And, yeah, so, I mean, I was just into that kind of music. I love that kind of music. I was way into, you know, David Sanborn and that kind of whole vibe. And I just loved it ever since I was a kid. So that's what I wanted to do.
Wow. And you made that record in your college apartment?
I did.
Wow.
Nuts.
And you come from a music family. Your dad's a musician, music teacher.
Yeah.
Okay. So you had that influence too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And look what you have done over the course of your career. 29 albums, 40 number one songs on the Billboard charts. And your fans, they love you. I was on your YouTube channel again, and I was looking at some of the comments, and I'm going to read some of them.
Uh-oh.
Somebody said, it's all good vibes. That's what I like, too, about your YouTube channel, too. It's all good vibes. And it's so somebody said, who needs blood pressure meds when all you have to take is some Brian Culbertson music daily?
Wow.
And then someone else said, you know, a song touches your soul when you close your eyes and you feel like you're in another place. You don't know where this place is, but you're loving it. And it gives me chills. And I think I took that from your Dream album. Somebody was commenting.
Oh, wow.
And then this one person at the time was in their 70s said, Brian, I want my last days to be listening to your awesome music. This is how I want to leave this earth.
That's heavy.
That is. Like, how does it make you feel that you have a gift that touches people like that?
I mean, you know, you read in that, I literally was getting chills right here thinking about that, because it's amazing to me what or who and how it touches people. And it touches people totally different. And when I'm in the studio making new music, I'm not even thinking about how it will affect people. I'm thinking about, okay, how does it make me feel right now? You know, so first and foremost, you have to stay kind of authentic to who you are as a songwriter, as an artist, as a, you know, piano player. And to me, that's an unbelievable bonus that once it finally gets out there, that people actually like it and it touches them in such a way. Deeply. That's just beautiful.
The power of music, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of the power of music, your latest album is Day Trip. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely a nice album to play when you're on the road. We have a lot of traffic out here in the Bay.
Hey, that's
so,
right.
so that's calming, or like just even I listen to it when I'm on the bus, when I'm on the BART. And you're on the road a lot. So
yeah.
I was kind of surprised you made a Day Trip album. You still like taking day trips?
I absolutely do. I spend about maybe half the year on the road. But, you know, now and then you got to take some time for yourself. And my wife and I, Michelle, and I have been taking day trips, you know, ever since we've been together, you know, almost 30 years now. So we did it probably more when we lived in Los Angeles. We were always going somewhere. Back here now, it's like, I'm sort of outside of the city now. We recently moved outside of the city, and I'm loving the trees and the country, and it's just so calming. And so we just like driving around, you know.
Yeah.
Way out here, there's not much traffic, so I kind of like that too.
And that part of the country is beautiful. Talk about like that, I guess, suburban or rural area.
Northern Illinois, just like, you know, out of the city. You know, it's great. A lot of deer and animals and all kinds of stuff.
Oh yeah, that's so nice. That's a nice songwriting environment too, I imagine.
Absolutely, yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So what was the inspiration behind Day Trip?
Well, it first stemmed from wanting to do music that was more adventurous, meaning musically challenging and yet still accessible to the listener that's in this kind of music, into this kind of the music. But I wanted it also to be really interesting to other musicians too. And it started with the songwriting. And I was listening to a lot of the songs that I had grown up on, you know, this kind of late 70s, early 80s jazz fusion, where it was so adventurous. There was no rules, you know what I mean? And so I sort of missed that in contemporary jazz as of late. And so that was really what I set out to do, is create something new that felt as adventurous as some of these albums that I grew up on many years ago.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with jazz and funk musician Brian Culbertson. His latest album, Day Trip, is out now, and Brian's annual Napa Valley Jazz Getaway is June 10th to the 13th. Tickets are almost gone, so you better get them now.
Hey.
Brian, so we're a Bay Area station, and you collaborated with an artist who is from Oakland and has much love here in the Bay. Sheila E.
That's right. That's right.
How was it working with her?
Oh my gosh, she is incredible. I mean, let's face it. You know, I honestly, I had never worked with her in the studio. So you never really know what it's going to be like until you're in there and like, hey, let's go for it. What are we doing? So, you know, I had known her from random festivals and other events here and there. She's always so sweet. And so I asked her, I said, hey, I have a song that I need your thing. She's like, okay, let's do it. So we get in the studio and she was so pro. I mean, unbelievable. Immediately I knew why she was who she is, if you know what I'm saying. She hit the first note. I was like, oh, hello. She's not messing around. I mean, just like, wow, she was warming up. We weren't even recording yet. I was like, oh my God, hit the record button.
Those drumsticks were on fire.
I mean, holy cow. She just went in there. I was like, all right, this song is on another level right now. And I had just recorded with Marcus Miller too. And so, you know, both having him and her on this track, which was the lead single off of Day Trip, it was called On the Road. Just like, it's unbelievable.
Coming up.
Let's do it.
Yes. I know you love Napa and you love wine and music. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm looking at the lineup.
Yeah.
And Will Downing. I love Will Downing. Jonathan Butler, The Family Stone, Peter White, and you, of course. And that's not all of the lineup. That's just a snippet. And you've been hosting this for 13 years.
Yes. I can't believe it's been this many years. I mean, it's people have been so supportive of this event. It's so much fun. And people have been coming for many, many years and have made friends with other people from all over the country and really all over around the world. And it's cool to see them getting back and hanging each and every summer. So it's a beautiful thing.
Is there anything folks can expect this year?
I got Ohio players coming back this year.
Right.
Oh, I can't wait. Marcus Ooh. Miller, like I said, is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so many others. So it's a great lineup. Really excited about this year.
I wanted to talk about your YouTube show, The Hang.
Oh, yeah.
I have enjoyed watching it. I have watched so many episodes. I will not confess how many, but... that's so good. You go on YouTube Live from your studio in Illinois, and you're playing, you know, your music. You're playing the keyboard. You're playing the piano. You know, Brian, your personality on there, it kind of gives radio disc jockey vibes, but also live concert at the same time. And it's a whole community. I just think it's a great idea, especially as you're an independent artist now.
Yeah.
And I just think that's just a great idea. How has that served you as an independent artist? Like, has it caused your fan base to grow?
100%. I mean, once I started doing that, obviously the only reason that anybody started streaming was, everything shut down and all the concerts were canceled, as we know, 5 years ago. But I got into that and immediately this community was there and everyone was so excited that, hey, there's something we can do and look forward to. And I'm not talking about, the news or current events. I'm just talking about music and wine and having mm-hmm. good times, And I think it was a really needed escape for people. And still to this day, people tell me that. It's like, man, you really got me through tough times or whatever. And so now, when we're now back on tour, I get to meet these folks that I see on the chat on YouTube. So again, creating connections is really, really something that's been special and kind of unexpected.
Yeah, I love it. It's, you do it on Friday nights. You don't do it every Friday night because you have shows and you have a life. So
yeah,
you don't do it. You don't do it every Friday.
If I'm in the studio, I'm on.
Yeah, it feels like, if maybe you can't make it out on Friday night, you can't go somewhere on Friday night, maybe, some people, they're sick, so they can't go out at the moment. And so it feels like you're doing something. Like,
that's right.
You feel like, yeah.
And because it's live, there's people chatting, it feels like, you're like you just said, you're a part of something.
It's Friday night, and we're hanging out. Just drinks of wine.
Oh, yeah.
In the studio.
Studio.
It's Friday night. And we're hanging out.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with jazz and funk musician Brian Culbertson. His latest album is Day Trip, and Brian's annual Napa Valley Jazz Getaway is June 10th to the 13th, and tickets are on sale. So you're an independent artist.
Yeah.
As I'm watching The Hang, you got your wine, you have a wine club, you're selling your CDs, you got your concerts. And I'm just thinking too, again, like, we're close in age and the music landscape has changed tremendously.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Since we were in our 20s. And so, again, you're an independent artist. Like, what do you know about being an independent artist today? That you wish you knew when you first started?
Well, I don't think being an indie artist back when I first started was even really viable. There was no internet. Well, virtually none, very little in the early 90s. I had to have that initial kind of record company machine to get started in those days. We had no other way of getting out there because you had to get into, Best Buy and Circuit City, remember them?
Mm-hmm.
And
Tower Records.
And all these places. And, you can't or couldn't do it. At least I didn't know how to do it as an independent artist. So it's totally changed. Now with YouTube and all the social media, you have direct connection to your fan base. And so I was lucky enough to have all that promotion from the major labels for 20 years. I was on major labels before I decided to go independent. I just picked the right time. We're like, hey, you know what? I can do this. I can release my music. I can print up my own CDs and ship them out. It's a lot more work, but you know us, it's more rewarding and it's more, there's more musical freedom. With that, I was always battling with the label on music choices and ideas and concepts. I was like, oh my goodness, I just want to make the music that I want to make. But, you know, I understand from their perspective as well. Hey, they're spending a lot of money here. They want to protect their investment. So I get it. But, you know, nowadays it's just, you know, having that direct connection, like I said, is invaluable. And it's amazing.
I mean, and now you hear about so many new artists that are independent now.
Yeah,
That's the route that they're going. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you can make the album yourself, just put it out digitally, I mean, that's the start of it right there. Nowadays, you can make records in your bedroom.
Exactly.
On a laptop. It's nuts.
Right.
Yeah.
But people aren't buying music either. I mean, that's the downside. And I always push on my show when I have independent artists. I always tell people, I'm like, buy their music, because, you know, to help them. And they deserve it because, you know, you all are talented. So.
Well, you know, I mean, we make 0.00037 cents per stream. So it's like, you gotta have billions of streams to make what people used to make. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Billions with a B.
Yeah, just because they have a million streams, right?
Yeah,
they have
tens of dollars.
Right, right. So, what would you tell like a new upcoming artist who's independent that is dealing with that, right? And I know some people personally that are brilliant artists. They're, you know, like any advice like you would give as far as to, I don't know necessarily not even just boost your platform because you might have a big platform, but just to like financially survive.
It is definitely tough out there as a new artist. You know, I would say you gotta play out live as much as humanly possible because, you know, you can still play gigs. And most musicians are making the majority of their money playing live. You know, you got to have music that is out there on platforms so that people can check you out and discover you. But you got to play live as much as possible because that live fan base, they will be your champion, right? And they will tell other people. It's all about word of mouth. Like you heard about me through your friend.
Right.
That's how it works. As jazz artists, we're not on TV. You know, we can't even get mainstream publicity. You know, my publicist calls all these places. Everyone's like, oh, no thanks. Don't care.
Really?
It's jazz.
And you're like,
yeah, I'm telling you. So I can't get on any TV, like night shows or any of the mainstream shows. No one cares. Yeah.
And you're so successful and so good.
It doesn't matter. They want who's young and hot and on pop radio. That's it. Or if you're on a major label and you're like a new band that's coming out, they're going to leverage that TV station and say, hey, if you want, you know, pick a pop star, Ariana Grande. Well, you also have to take this new band of ours and put them on. That's how it works.
Okay.
So as a jazz indie artist, we have no chance of getting on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? We're doing our thing. I'm not complaining. We got amazing fans around the world and people like yourself having me on your show. So I appreciate this. And, you know, we're doing our thing. So it's all good.
I have one last question.
Yeah.
How many keyboards do you have? Because I love when I'm watching The Hang, you have all these keyboards. And you have a grand piano.
Yes.
How many keyboards do you have?
19.
19. Woo.
And people say, why do you have all these? I'm like, because every single one of them has a different thing that it does.
We know
what a piano does. We know what a Hammond B3 organ does, right?
Yeah.
But nothing else does that. I have a clavinet. That's Stevie Wonder Superstition. That's a clavinet. You got to have one. I got a mini Moog. That's an old 70s synthesizer. See, everything has its own vibe. You know what I mean?
Brian, I have learned so much.
Oh.
I have learned so much from you. Just even that about instruments. So
okay. There you
and,
go.
And the business and just learning more about you. So I really appreciate that you took the time to chat with me today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's definitely a pleasure. So hope to hang out in the Bay soon.
Brian Culberson's latest album is Day Trip. His Napa Valley Jazz Getaway is this June 10th to the 13th. Excuse me. And make sure to watch his show, The Hang, on YouTube. It streams live on Friday nights at 6 p.m. Or go back and look at past episodes like I do. Ooh, this allergy season is getting to me, y'all. All right, coming up, the original bad girl of comedy, Miss Lunell. Keep it locked right here. You're listening to the Sights and Sounds show with me, Janae Darden. From Oaktown to Tinseltown, comedian Lunell continues to rise in the entertainment industry. Lunell is originally from Oakland, but now in I'm struggling with these allergies. I'm sorry. But she now lives in Las Vegas, where she has a residency at Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club on the Vegas Strip. In 2024, she became the first black female comedian to sell out the Apollo since Moms Mabley in the 1960s, and she filmed her 2023 Netflix special Town Business at Yoshi's in Oakland. You can watch Lunell on screen with Tracy Morgan in the Paramount Plus sitcom Crutch. She plays a very nosy neighbor who has no filter when speaking her mind, and she is very funny in it. Now, when I spoke with Lunell, she was recovering from an infection. We talked about her health, her latest projects, including one that she's keeping a secret. Here's our conversation. Lunell, welcome.
Hi.
I'm so happy to see you. I'm always happy to see you.
Happy to hear from me. don't know we're looking at each other.
that too. And happy to hear from you.
Yeah.
So recently I heard, because I follow you, I've been following you for years. I've told you before that if I was hanging off a cliff and I called my mother and you started an Instagram Live, she would get off the phone and say, just hold on for a few seconds because Lunell Live has started. I can't tell you how many times, Lunell, I have been in a serious conversation with my mother. You started a live and she was like, just hold that thought. Lunell on. She ain't going to be long.
God bless her. God bless her. Hey, mama.
So she told me, she was like, you weren't feeling well recently. You were hospitalized with a condition called cellulitis. It's a spreading, according to the Mayo Clinic, it's a spreading skin infection, most commonly of the lower leg, and it's caused by bacteria entering through a break in the skin. And I saw that you said you were scratching mosquito bites. You think that's possibly how you got infected. And so you have been resting for a while, and you stay on the road. How has that been for you to slow down?
It's been glorious. I wouldn't care if it was an infection that laid me down or what it was. Of course, you know, God knows best, and I had been going very hard, and I was trying to go hard in the paint through the end of the year. So when January came, which is now, I'm on vacation. Well, I've only taken vacation the last 3 years. I've been working for 20 years without a vacation.
Wow.
And because then I had to stop and say, you know, these trips that I'm doing is not vacation. So 2 years ago, I started taking January, February off just so that people could get their money back up and miss me a bit because, you know, look, you're coming out of Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, birthdays. And I wanted people to just, you know, woosaw for a minute that we all get recalibrated in March. So this year, I'm taking this month off January, but the second month I'm taking off is in August because my family reunion in Arkansas is every 2 years. And so this year, 2026, is when my family reunion is. So I wanted to go hard in the paint in December so that when I wouldn't be working in January, I mean, I wouldn't make no money in January. So I was worried about that. I'm not one to cancel shows, you know, but when the cellulitis happened and my foot got sore from the ankle bites that I think I got on Halloween, I couldn't walk and I couldn't work either. So I had involuntary rest, but I needed it. I'm glad it happened. I'm glad it wasn't anything more serious than that. And God had to sit me down for a minute so I could get some rest. So, you know, I had planned on rest in January, which I am. But God said, no, I'm going to get you some rest right now, sis. So
My grandmother used to say that, too. She said, God will sit you down.
Oh, honey.
Yeah.
And when he sits you down, you know it's him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can't do nothing else.
No, you can't. And so, yeah, you were in the hospital for a week. So you look good. So I'm glad that you recovered, because I know we were concerned. You've reached so many great milestones since I last spoke with you a couple of years ago. In 2023, your Netflix comedy special Town Business debuted, and it was filmed at Yoshi's.
Yes,
and
you were
hilarious. Dave Chappelle and Stan Lathan were the executive producers. I'm so happy you filmed it here in Oakland. Is there another comedy special in the works? Because we want more Lunell. I know I do.
Yes, probably. We are talking about that. We're going to be talking about that this year. And I definitely have the material. You know, Dave has been very busy himself. So, you know, all things in time. It took me this long to get that special. And if I have to wait a little longer to get the next one, I'm fine. I'm patient with it. Dave asked me where I wanted to film it, because I could have filmed it anywhere. If I said I wanted to film it in New York or Chicago, he would have let me. But I felt like I should film it in Oakland, sort of as a love letter to Oakland. And because, you know, everything I really am, I learned in Oakland. And it's still on Netflix now if people care to watch it. It is called Town Business, and it's not even a whole hour. It's like 33 minutes. And that wasn't my decision. That's just the way that it happened. But I'm very, 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 very proud of it.
No, it was good. I mean, I knew it would be. It's hilarious, especially when you talked about being an airplane marshal.
A self-appointed unofficial air marshal.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that your air travel is safer than it's ever been before. Why, Lunell? I'll tell you. Because I, Lunell, am up in the sky regulating just like I do on the ground. That's right. I am a self-appointed unofficial air marshal. I've been on orange alert since 9/12. Orange alert. I see every thing moving on the plane. First thing I do when I step on the, I stick my head in that cockpit. Now, I want to see who's driving this buggy. How y'all doing? Y'all get enough sleep? Ain't nobody fighting with the old lady or no like that, are you? Okay. I sit on the aisle in case some pop off. I'm not gonna be hemmed up over there by that window. Hey, black people, y'all remember when we used to say hemmed up? That had me hemmed up down to the liquor store. I was almost late for work.
You know one thing I like that you do in your comedy is that you'll start off a story real calm, and then, like, you just crash out and just and just go off the rails. And then, like, in your storytelling, everybody's looking at you, like, when you're telling the story, you're, like, people are looking at you because you crashed out, and then you calm back down again. I love when you do that.
Me too. Thank you.
Yeah, I love that artistry when you do that. 2024, you had your own show at the Apollo Theater.
Yes.
A sold out crowd becoming the first woman to sell out that venue since Mom's Mabley in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Then later that year, you had your own show at the Paramount Theater in Oakland.
Yes.
Your star power just continues to grow, Lunell. What did that mean to you to make that history at the Apollo Theater? That's American history. That's Black history. Wow.
Well, first of all, I didn't believe them when they said, there hasn't been another female comic sell out the Apollo since 68. I said, you lying. They said, no, it hasn't happened. It's just been you and Mom's Mabley. I'm like, what? I said, well, how can that be? What about Whoopi? What about Wanda? What do you mean? And he said that most of the time they come and play the Beacon Theater in New York instead of the Apollo, because the Beacon is bigger, the bag is bigger, and all that. I didn't do the Apollo for the bag. I did the Apollo for the legacy of it. Mm-hmm. I did the Apollo so my daughter would be able to say her mother and father have performed at the Apollo. And when I did it the second time, my daughter is a dancer. Her name is Danelle. Shout out to Danelle. And I had her and her dancers open up the show. So now my daughter, myself, and her father have all performed at the Apollo Theater. I did it to be able to know what that feeling was like, to come out and rub that tree and to
yes.
see my name on the marquee, excuse me, where it has said the Delphonics and Aretha Franklin and the Temptations, and my name was up there too. I did it to know what it feels like after watching Showtime at the Apollo all my life. I did that for the legacy of it, not for the money. Everything I do is not for the money. Mostly everything, let me be clear, but not everything. And so to do it the first time and have them tell me that, it was just amazing. And a lot of friends flew out or lived on the East Coast. And also I'm a West Coast comic, you know, tried and true. Right. And for a West Coast comic to go to such an iconic East Coast place and sell it out, it was a pretty heady thing to do. Then I did it again. And then to do the Paramount in Oakland, where I have stood on the sidewalks and watched so many people go in. They used to have a thing called the Black Filmmakers Hall of Fame.
Right.
I used to stand out there and watch Calvin Lockhart and watch Halle Berry and watch, you know, Glenn Turman and people go in there. And I was like, oh, my God. And then I've been there to see The Whispers and Stephanie Mills and stuff like that. I have performed there before with Bernie Mac. I performed there with Sinbad, and those were big deals. I performed there with DL. But to have my name right there on Broadway, where I used to catch the bus and everything like that, and to have my name on there and have my daughter see that too, I mean, it just don't get no better for me.
Yeah, I remember seeing a video or picture, and you were so excited to see your name on that marquee.
It was amazing.
Lunell, quick question. I know you said that you were going to announce something happening in Oakland in February. Can you announce it now, or is it too early?
I'm going to wait until the official announcement drops.
Okay.
Before I talk about it, but it does have to do with comedy. It is a legacy thing that was sprouted in Oakland, and I'm going to have something to do with it. So I'm going to wait until it drops. But yeah, you're on your P's and Q's, girl. You trying to get that exclusive, ain't that?
When I saw that, I was like, maybe we can get that in time for January. But that's fine. Well,
I'll tell you off the air if you want me to.
Oh yeah, tell me. Oh yeah, this is not live, Lunell. So just to let you know. So yeah, you could tell me off the air.
You mean I can tell you now and you can just cut it out?
You can tell me now.
I'm going to wait. I'm going to tell you off the air. I'm going to tell you.
Okay. Yeah.
She's
okay.
Trying to get me, y'all. Okay. She's trying to get me.
She'll tell me once we off the air.
Yes, so I will.
Y'all have to wait, but I will. I'll let y'all know once
yeah,
I find
so
out.
Yeah, so that you can hit me, like the minute you hear about it, you can hit me back and I'll talk about it.
Okay, cool. Then we'll bring you back. Yay, I'm excited. Okay. So if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with comedian Lunell. She's one of the stars of the Paramount Plus sitcom Crutch, and you can catch her on the Vegas Strip, where she has a residency at Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club, which I've been to, and she's funny, funny, funny. And her shows are on Sunday and Monday nights. Okay, so let's talk about Crutch. It stars Tracy Morgan. He plays Crutch, who is a widower living in a New York brownstone, and his adult children move back into his home along with his grandchildren. Now, you play his nosy neighbor, Pearl, and Pearl is too much.
You know, it's sort of reminiscent of, well, I don't know, you're younger, but...
No, I remember 227.
I thought it was seven.
Pearl and from 227.
Know, yeah, she was in the window, always sitting in the window, seeing what's going on, sort of like that. It was really fun. I was going back and forth to New York for 8 weeks, which was a task, but it was also very exciting. I love Tracy Morgan. I've been working with Tracy, you know, many, many years off and on doing different projects. I did The Last OG. We've done comedy together, and I've been knowing Tracy a long time. And then there were guests on there like Arsenio Hall and stuff like that. So, and also at the studio, I think it was Kaufman Studio that we performed at in New York, is the same studio that The Cosby Show was filmed on. So it was pretty legendary to be going back and forth and doing that. And I really enjoyed the experience.
That's awesome, that history, too, as well, that context there that you talked about being on the same set, as same studio as The Cosby Show.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to play this clip. And in this clip, Pearl is looking out of her window because that's what she does. She's a next-door neighbor who looks out the window.
Right.
And always has something to say. So she's watching Crutch's family, and they're having a law school graduation party for Crutch's son, but Pearl wasn't invited.
One black person graduate from law school, and y'all act brand new. I don't know why I wasn't invited.
Because you're a thief, Miss Pearl. I know you took my Commodore's box set.
I helped you look for it.
That's how I know you took it.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Ludell, so later on at the party, I love to see, you're taking off your robe. You're in the window. You're taking off a robe. And you tell people at the party, this body broke up, new edition. And I hollered. Did you ad-lib that, or did somebody write that?
No, somebody wrote that.
But, okay.
But a lot of my stuff is ad-lib. Which, you know, it might be they give me an idea, and then I help embellish it like that and stuff. And it's not always about the line. It's about the delivery sometime, you know? So mm-hmm. I really thought that was funny. So, yeah, poor new edition.
I was not expecting that. And then I was like, that's something she would say. Like,
it is.
Like, oh, just stand up. So that's why I love that. I'm glad you're having fun on the show. And I have another question, because I know you got so much stuff in the works. So
yeah.
You're working on a documentary.
Well, excuse me, working on a book first. Okay. Working on my biography first. And trying to shop that and get that out there. And then once that gets out there, because it will, then after that, I think I am going to try to do a doc, because I do have a lot of aspects to my life that people may not be aware of, or if they've heard me talk about it, they can't really visualize it until we do something like that. I already know who I want to play me. I've already talked to her about it, and I think she's down with it.
Oh, wait a minute, you doing a biopic?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And okay. My girl, Braylee Evans, who is also from Oakland. Braylee Evans is who I would want to play me.
Okay.
But I've always been interested in documentaries and biographies like Unsung and stuff like that, because I love to see the backstory. When did it change? How did it change? What was the defining moment, you know?
Yeah.
And I think those shows are inspirational, so can't wait to do one myself.
And you definitely have an incredible story. Incredible. And so much that you survived and experienced.
True.
And, yeah. And so I could definitely see a film about your life.
Thank you.
And that's the thing, too. That's why people love you, too, because you're so real and open and relatable. Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, when you're from the streets of Oakland, California, like us, one thing about people from Oakland, we're going to keep it a buck, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
We're not very sugar-coaty. You know, we'll tell it like it is. If you don't want to know, don't ask a person from Oakland, because we're going to tell you the truth, you know, spare no feelings. And I think that had prepared me for being in the real industry, too, because when I was doing my tenure at the Soul Beat Television Network, I was very, very, very popular in Oakland already. So when I came to L.A. and finally did get popular in Los Angeles via Comic View and stuff like that, and then nationally, it wasn't like I got my mind blown with the pop, because I was already popular before I left Oakland. You know, they talked about Soul Beat and how janky it was, but I bet you wish that we had Soul Beat again right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the commentary that we was able to have, the guests that we was able to have on there, and just the whole black format. So rest in peace, Chuck Johnson.
Yes, rest. I mean, I sit on his shoulders, too, because the fact I can even do what I'm doing.
For sure.
Yeah,
for
absolutely.
Sure.
And I've noticed two people now appreciate some people that like look down, like you were saying, kind of thought look down on Soul Beat because of the, you know, maybe the video quality, and now they appreciate it more.
I mean, there was nothing like being at home on a Friday night, sitting on your couch, watching your friends at Sweet Jimmy's. Nothing right. like it.
Nothing.
You know, you can say, that's my mom. See my mom over there. That's my cousin. Da, 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 da. You know, or but you didn't feel like going, but you could be at Sweet Jimmy's anyway. You know,
right.
I mean, those days are long gone. And it's a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame.
It's a shame. And I was too young to go to Sweet Jimmy, so I was partying with y'all.
You can watch it, though.
I was in my pajamas.
Yes, watching Sweet Jimmy's and seeing what's going on down there.
Okay, so what else can we expect from the original Bad Girl of Comedy in 2026 that you can tell me on
Well,
the air?
I will be, you know, of course, on tour. You can always go to my website, heylunell.com, HEYLUENELL.com. You can go to heylunell.com for information about where I'm going to be. You can purchase merchandise there. I have my own T-shirts. They're Swarovski crystal embellished, not rhinestones. They're not just little janky T-shirts. They're very, very classy that you can wear to the club. I've got my own fragrances. I've got one called Iconic and one called Legendary. And I'm very proud of those fragrances and roll-on oil and cream. The Netflix is a Joke Comedy Festival. It's coming up soon. I'll be involved in that. That's basically in Los Angeles. But, you know, there's a lot of people listening who got, you know, plans of coming to L.A. or whatever.
We have
like
SoCal.
That.
We have listeners in Southern California,
okay.
too.
So that'll be happening. And I'll be involved in that. And just, you know, lots of fun things. Lots of fun things.
All right, Luna, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. So good to see you. And I've just been loving your rise in the comedy world and in
Me too.
I know you have.
Especially in such a male-dominated field, you
right.
know. They would have you think there's not a lot of female comics out there, but there are. They just don't get the exposure that some of the guys do, and all you see is the guys palling around each other because they're smoking cigars together and they're on golf courses together and they make deals there where the women are not at. So, but there's a lot of beautiful black female comics from London, from Ghana, from Spain, from everywhere that are really, 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 really funny. And I just want to urge the women to be on the lookout for that because, you know, you buy tickets to a comedy show that's got 5 men on it,
right.
not one single female. So when's the last time you wanted to sit around and listen to what 5 men got to talk about? I'm just saying, we need to stand up and, you know, support the females in comedy as well.
I hear you.
My cousin Shay Sugar, comedian Shay Sugar, she's from Richmond.
Right, she's on my list.
Okay, she's the next one behind me. And we didn't even know we were cousins until about 5 years ago. But we really are. My brother ran the Ancestry.com thing, and her father's name came up on our profile. And so we found out later that we're actually cousins. And she's one of the, you know, hot females out of the Bay that's hosting everything these days. So
yeah.
Be on the lookout for her for sure.
Yeah, she's very, very funny.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lunell.
Okay, thank you. I'll talk to y'all later. Bye.
That was comedian and actress Lunell. I misspoke about her historic performance at the Apollo during the interview. So for clarity, and she corrected me, but for clarity, Lunell became the first black female comedian to sell out the Apollo since Mobbs Mabley in the 1960s. All right, and you can stream Lunell's series Crutch on Paramount Plus. Lunell does stand up around the country. As you heard, she says she's on tour. So you can visit her website to see where she's stopping next. And we'll have a link on that on our website. And I'll keep you posted on the secret project she's working on. That's all the time we have for the Sights and Sounds show with Congested Janae Darden. Thank you to our show producer, Porfirio Rangel, board operator, Damian Miner. Shout out to him and happy belated birthday, Damian. And thank you to our director of audio programming, David Boyer. And thank you for tuning in. All right. I'm excited because I have an event coming up in the East Bay very, very soon. So join me for a literary reading and discussion with award-winning poet James Cagney. We'll be talking about his really moving, powerful book titled Ghetto Koans, A Personal Archive. And it's a great collection of poetry that looks at the complexities, creativity, mystery, and enlightenment that sometimes comes from living in the inner city. And as someone who grew up in the inner city from East Oakland, it really spoke to me. And this special night will take place at Books, Inc. in Alameda on Thursday, January 22nd at 7 p.m. Again, that's Books, Inc. in Alameda on Thursday, January 22nd at 7 p.m. We'll be recording the audio too, but come in. We'll have a live audience. You guys can ask questions. It's a lot of fun. You can go to booksinc.net for details. We'll also have a link on the KLW Sights and Sounds page. This is going to be a great, great conversation, so don't miss it. Another announcement. Don't forget to get your tickets for the Martin Luther King tribute concert In the Name of Love. This year's music will be inspired by Sly and the Family Stone, and I know it's going to be good because I went last year and had a ball. Porfirio went too. We had a good time. He's shaking his head like, yeah, it was good. We were jamming. So that show is going to be Saturday, January 17th at the Paramount Theater in Oakland. So definitely go support that. Make sure to tell people about this show, the Sights and Sounds show. I meet so many people who listen to Sights and Sounds Picks, and I love Sights and Sounds Picks, and I know you all love Sights and Sounds Picks. That's the show I do, the 6-minute show where people, artists, tell us things to do and see around the Bay Area, but they don't know about the 1-hour show. So make sure you tell folks about the Sights and Sounds show with Janae Darden, and also be on the lookout for our Sights and Sounds pre-Valentine's Day event. So that's going to be coming up soon, next month in February, and we'll have an announcement about that in a couple of weeks. All right. We'll have another great show for you right here next Wednesday at 4 p.m. Until then, be good to yourselves and each other. Wash your hands because the bug is going around. Cover your mouth. All that good stuff.